ADHD in me, undiagnosed. I know I have it. I know I have ADHD. I ain't worried about it. Not worried about it. I cope with it. I've never been diagnosed with it because I don't think I've ever went to the right therapist to ever get assessed for it. But I've been diagnosed with clinical depression and PTSD. PTSD is not a symptom. It's an acronym used to describe I think I have to back up on that. PTSD is not a symptom. It's an acronym used to describe people who have gone through things that within that acronym, there are symptoms such as depression. You know, my therapist explained to me that she was treating me for the symptoms of PTSD. The traumas that I suffered in my childhood, in my life, as a young adult, I've had to, you know, go to therapy, and I've never been diagnosed with anxiety because I'm usually really calm about situations because I grew up in church. And for me personally, I sat on a church pew for five, 6 hours at a time, only getting up to go to the bathroom. And just me and my personality and who I am, I chose to be calmer than most people who have ADHD, who really display ADHD. And I think that's why I go off on when I do these. And the reason why I talk so much about how I jump around and have my squirrel moments is because somebody told me one time, they were like, I can't listen to your episodes because you need to focus on one topic. You need to stick to one topic. And it's like, you know, I can get that and I can understand it. And I've been beating myself up over that ever since that person said that. But then I have to realize and understand that there are people who enjoy listening to me and that I do have a gift for speaking. And whatever you want to call this podcast, video diary or audio diary or thoughts, perceptions, whatever you want to call this, however you want to see it. I know that I have a gift for this because people are drawn to me. Even haters, you know, haters can't help but listen to what I say. So it's really time to stop beating myself up. But I do think I have ADHD of some form of it. I think I'm on the spectrum. I think a lot of reasons why I have issues with processing certain things is because my ADHD keeps me from being patient. I'm not patient. You know, I had this purse for sale on a certain website that I'm on for a good while, and it finally fucking sold. And it's like, when it didn't sell within the first week, I was like, oh my God. You know, people hate the purse. They're not paying attention to me. All these negative thoughts started coming. And I'm pretty sure that's ADHD. And when it sold, it was like, oh my God, all the shit that I thought was like, that was ridiculous. And I think it affects me in my relationships with men too, because I am not patient with them. I've told this story before, and I'm telling it again because I've been listening to a lot of different YouTube channels. This one I'm listening to now is Real Life Productions, and I've seen a lot of different black people on their show, and I've really enjoyed the interviews that they give, but I don't like the interviewer having the camera on the interviewee and asking them questions, and the interviewer is not visible. It just reminds me too much of Vlad. And I hate Vlad. So, and I grew up with the interviewer and the interviewee, but at times it's like when you're focusing on what's the atmosphere of everything, you really want to concentrate on the person that's being interviewed, right? So taking the interviewer out of the picture visually really helps you concentrate on the person that they're interviewing. And I always thought that when I saw Oprah interviewing different people, I never felt like it was about the person. I always felt like it was a situation to where it was more beneficial to Oprah than anybody that she interviewed. So I always felt it was kind of impersonal to have the interviewer. And then it also was, they would ask really intrusive questions. And I feel like when I see these YouTubers on these, you know, have these channels and they interview people, I feel like they're more comfortable making it about the interviewee instead of about the show. And I think that's a nice, I like real life productions, because I like that channel. I really do. I dig too deep into things, I think, too. Like, I want to find out where these guys come from, how they start their channel. You know, I want to dig. And that might be a part of ADHD, too. And that might be part of my trauma, you know, getting to know people and figuring out where they come from and if they're going to hurt me. You know, I think. But these guys are... It's a YouTube channel, so why do I need to know all that? But it's just... I don't know. Maybe it stems from that. You know, maybe it just carries on through... And I kind of need to not worry about where people come from and their backgrounds and shit, because I'm not trying to have relationships with these people. So I probably need to stop doing that. But the story I want to tell is about a little scrappy doppelganger that I ran into. I was out of town and I was with family in a hotel. And there was a hotel worker there that looked exactly like Lil Scrappy, except for Lil Scrappy wears his hair really short and this guy's hair was a little bit longer. I can't remember what it looked like, but he was really attractive. Oh, he looked just like Lil. I love black men who look like Lil Scrappy. That look, the body type, all of that shit is my favorite. Oh my God. A black man that looks like that and that's built like that, perfect. My type 100%. And so I noticed, this was back in 2015, so I wasn't as heavy now. I just gained this weight when I turned 50. So I had kept myself in pretty good shape. I had my hair done and it was in braids and I was looking cute. But I was with family and I was trying to be attentive to my family members. And I really wanted to be a good girl, because my entire dating life has been trash. And I think now, because of all of the issues that I've had in my life, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know that I had ADHD or I could have ADHD. I didn't know that I was clinically depressed. I didn't know these things about myself. Had I known them, I would have made better choices. So what do? You listen to people who possibly have mental health issues themselves. And no good fruit came from any of my dating relationships, except for my sons. I picked the right fathers for each of them because they are brilliant young men, and I'm so fucking proud of them. Oh my God. And I didn't do this shit. They did it on their own. I cannot take credit for them being men, but enough of that. So this guy was following me around, like, and one of the hotel workers said, yeah, you do look like Lil Scrappy, you know, like that would kind of, and at that time I was smoking cigarettes, and so I had went outside for a cigarette and he followed me out there, and I just looked at him and I gave him this glare like, don't you even say anything to me. And he did, and I said hi and I rolled my eyes. And I think at that point, I think back to that, and I needed to realize, but I didn't know who I was at the time. I needed to realize that at least I could have had a conversation with him. I could have given him my number, found out about his history, found out who he was, been a friend to, but I didn't have that in me at that time because I didn't know who I was. It wasn't that I was stuck up or being a bitch or just was like, ew, about black men. But it was just, I didn't know how to handle the situation. Because I had been a mother that had dated men and had those men around my sons. And I'm paying for that shit. They didn't do anything to my, well, they didn't do anything to my sons that, you know, that warranted them to probably be in jail or get prosecuted. Nothing like that. But when you are a single mother, if you're a single mom and you're listening to this, listen to me. And I want you to take this in. I want you to take this in and make this a part of you. Anybody who you decide to date, never bring them around your child. Never. Not one man. I don't give a fuck how in love you think you are, how much you want to be with that man. Do not bring him around your child. I cannot stress that enough. The damage you do to a child when you bring a man around that is not his father and doesn't have what it takes to be the man that you need in your child's life or that your child should have in their life. Keep these men away from your kids. Because just like I didn't know who I was, I didn't know who those men were. And when I found out, I dropped them. I let them go. It took me 48 years. It took me to the age of 48, I should say. Because I didn't start dating until I was like 17 and a half. Well, I had my first boyfriend when I was in first grade or something. But we didn't kiss or hold hands or anything. But, you know, it took me to the age of 48 to realize who I was. And I don't regret any of the shit that I went through or the things that I've done or the guys that I've dated. I don't regret any of that stuff. But I will tell you that had I known who I was, I wouldn't have been in as many relationships as I was in. So at the time that I met this, that I ran into this little scrappy doppelganger, he was really hit me at a bad time. He was coming along at a bad time. And I could feel that this dude was so nice. And I was like, I don't know what to do with this because I'm so fucked up. I don't know how to process this shit. A guy that I think is attracted to me. Like, I've never had an issue with getting a man. Ever. Still to this day. Still to this day. Because I was talking to a relative and they were saying, and I was talking about how big my stomach was. And he was like, men don't see women like that. And somebody else told me that one time. They don't see women like that. And I don't understand what they mean when they say that, but that's okay. Because as I see myself, I'm a woman and a man is a man and he's going to see me. You know, I think I listen too much to the men that have expectations of women to keep their bodies a specific way. And I concentrate on that a lot. And I really put myself down because I kept myself together all the way up until the age of 50. I keep it together and boom, I get this fucking big ass pot belly that is, I look at myself in the mirror finally and I'm like, oh my fucking God. Damn, girl, you let yourself go. I kept up with my skin, though. I didn't fail when it came to that. But the food, the depression, it really, really got to me. I think when you have a hysterectomy, something happens. And it may not happen with all women. But for me, I was really having a hard time. Because I was like, God gave me a uterus. Why the fuck does it have to come out? And nobody was answering my question. Everybody was, you know, I got little bits and pieces of what I should do and blah, blah, blah. Nothing was helping. The fibroids, I had endometriosis. Didn't even know I had endometriosis because my cycles were not really painful, but they were heavy. So mentally, I was going through a lot because I wanted to have another baby. I wanted to find the right man to have another baby. But mentally, I couldn't have another fucking kid. I need to get myself together and figure out who the fuck I am before I bring any man into my life and think about having a kid. Oh, get the fuck out of here. So, I wanted to jump that guy's bone so bad, man. But I was just like, I can't do it because my sons are with me, my mom is with me, and I don't want to fuck this up. I don't want to fuck this up. And my son noticed that guy was following me around and I gave him no play. I didn't give him no attention. And I could have. And I felt bad. And I went back after we, you know, did what we did, where we were at, my family and I. I went back and I still dated a couple other guys and shit didn't work out. And it was like, I couldn't get that little scrappy doppelganger out of my head. I wish I would have found out what his name was. But he was fine as fuck, boy. Oof. Damn, he was fine. He just seemed so nice and so endearing. But it's just like, I fell for that kind of shit before, man. It just fucking tore me apart. So, another reason why I brought this subject matter up is because about Lil Scrappy Doppelganger. I want to tell you guys that story. It's because I'm sitting up here watching real life street stars. Man, I may not be saying that right. Real Life Productions. And they're doing an interview with Lil Scrappy. And Lil Scrappy is saying shit that makes so much fucking sense. Like, what if you have sex with somebody, you get with them? He didn't say, I don't think he said sex, but what if you get with somebody, you do your thing, woo-woo, and then you find out you don't want to be with that person? It's like, that's all you needed right there. And it's like, damn, he's right about that shit. Like, what if the guys I was with, and because I know I definitely felt that way about some guys that I was with. I was like, damn, I thought I wanted to be with this dude, but now I don't, you know? And what if the guy I was serious with said the same thing about me? And that's why things didn't work out with us. You gotta know yourself before you start getting in these relationships with people and having sex with them. And think of, because I was so naive to think that every single guy that I dated, this was it. I wasn't gonna be with anybody else. I was gonna be loyal to this guy. This was it. I never cheated. I cheated on my first love, but I've told that story 1,000 times. But I never cheated in any of my relationships. I was always faithful. Cause I don't like STDs. So I kid you not, every single fucking relationship I thought that shit was gonna turn into something, and they never fucking did. Cause I'm alone, 53 years old and alone. Never thought my life would end up like this. I thought that if I had picked the guy, worked hard, did what I was supposed to do as a woman, things would just fucking fall into place. Because that's what I was told. And that's bullshit. It's all bullshit. It's all fucking bullshit. What the world teaches you. Don't believe the hype. Like Flavor Flav says. Don't believe the fucking hype. Because that's all that it is. It's hype. You know, they tell us at 18 you're supposed to be out of the house, have a job, get married, get a car, get a house, get a family, 2.1 kids. And when you don't do that, you're a fucking failure. You know? So I just really wished that I could have a good ass man by my fucking side, man. Like when I was 13 years old, I was sitting in my room and I was thinking to myself, I said, I just want one man for myself. Just one. Somebody that'll be there for me, that'll protect me, that will help me, I can help him. At 13, I was thinking this shit. So for 40 years, I've been looking. Ain't found them yet. Ain't ran across them yet. And I may die and never know what it's like to be in a relationship that is fucking real. Where I am down for him and he's down for me. I've never fucking had that. In fact, a guy that I dated, we were friends with benefits. I was with this guy for like 10 years. Fucking wasting my time with that dude, man. He said to me, this nigga had the nerve to tell me, I'm still mad at you for getting kicked out the Coast Guard. I was like, what the fuck, nigga? And I cut his ass off. I was like, fuck you. You raggedy motherfucker. You're mad at me? I didn't see. Where the fuck were you when you knew I was getting honorably discharged? Where the fuck were you, nigga? Oh, the audacity of some of these men out here. But I didn't shut down all black men because of that one raggedy ass nigga that I wasted my time with for 10 fucking years. Wasted. Thought that nigga was my friend. And all he was doing was going through his own trauma, trying to figure out who the fuck he was. And he had the nerve to fucking tell me I'm mad at you because you got kicked out the Coast Guard, nigga. You still in the same fucking apartment I met you in. You ain't move and don't want to move from nowhere else. Like, the audacity of some people. The fuck? Damn. So because I got honorably discharged from the military after 15 years, that makes me a fucking loser? I ain't gonna have nothing else in life? Oh, just get the fuck out of here. So, we really got to do better at learning who we are and making decisions to get to know who we are and not selling ourselves short and understanding and knowing that we are a creation of someone, of something. I don't know what's out there, but we are creations of something that felt we were worthy enough to experience this life here. Look at the world around. Look at the atmosphere. Listen when you get up in the morning to the birds singing. That should be a world wonder. Not the fucking Niagara Falls. Not, you know, the seven world wonders. Animals are world wonders. Like, you look at them in awe and you... I saw this monkey eating a fucking orange the other day. It ate the peelings. It took the peelings off and ate them. And then ate the actual flesh of the orange. Like, what the fuck? You're supposed to eat the orange peels too? Oh, that blew my fucking mind. I was like, no way. You gotta be kidding me. I didn't expect to go this far into the conversation, but I hope you guys enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking about it because it was like, I gotta share this with you guys. I gotta share this with y'all because this is something else, man. You don't really know what you want until you find out who you really are. That's it. And do I know who I am right now? Yeah, I do. Not happy with my past, but I can't change that. But I'm not gonna run away from it either. I can tell you that shit right now. I ain't run away from shit. I'm not ashamed of my past, I can tell you that. But old girl still holding it down. I'm always holding it down. Just finding that one man. I love a man. Like, I got this idea of what I want, but I don't know what I need. What kind of man do I need in my life? That's what Lil Scrappy was talking about. Like, we can talk about what we want all day, but do we actually know what we need? Like, who do I need? I need somebody in my life that's going to understand that I've been through a lot of fucking trauma, man. I've been through a lot of fucking shit. I need them to understand that I'm a Michael Jackson fan and I ain't gonna stop doing these podcasts and I ain't gonna stop being on Twitter. I need a man that's got my fucking back. When I come back from the store with the groceries, get your ass up, go get my shit and bring it back. I need you to be there for me. I need you to be a man. I need you to be loyal and faithful and honest and trans fucking parent. And I need you to understand that I'm not this mold that people have in their heads of who a black woman should be. Because you cannot... You can't put me in a box. And you'll never be able to figure me out. You always gonna be scratching your head. when it comes to me, always gonna be scratching your head. So I need a dude that's gonna be like, yep, I get that, man, and get goosebumps. I need a dude that's not gonna be trying to make me into what he wants me to be, or try to per se train me, like somebody said to me one time. That shit was funny. I love when black men say that shit to me. That shit is hilarious. It's like, oh, okay. I'm gonna fuck your head all the way up then. You thinking that shit? For real? Okay. Nigga, please. You ain't running shit over here. I was thinking about starting a one-woman show and going out and doing tours, talking about my life. But I'd have to come up with a script. I'd have to figure out what venue I wanted to do it in and all this old kind of shit. I'd do an underground thing. I wouldn't do anything in big stadiums. Because them evil folks in Hollywood got everything on lock, and I'm not trying to be a part of none of that shit. Yeah. I was thinking about it. I don't think I want to do that, though. I just want my one dude to come on. That's all I want. And I know he's right there. He just waiting on me to get my shit together. But I just need him to come on and be a man and, like, fix shit. And if you can't fix things, then I need you to be able to pay to fix it or support me in some other way in the house. And not be so judgmental. But if you're judgmental, let it all come out. I need you to be able to communicate with me. Open your mouth and tell me how you feel, no matter how you think I may react to it. I may get mad. I may not talk to you for a couple of days, but give me time to process what the fuck you said. I'm gonna still love you. Sometimes we have to say those things that people don't like and can't understand why we say what we say. But it gets processed and we move the fuck on. I don't stay stuck on issues and situations. What I do is I remember what the fuck you did to hurt me, and you're not doing that shit again. So I'm always looking out for clues and signs. I'm gonna trust you, but you got to earn that shit. I'm just not gonna blindly trust you because, oh, I'm not going to do that no more, baby. I'm sorry. You know, can we just do that? Yeah, we can do this over again, but I'm not forgetting. Just so I see a little twinkle, a little something, I'm going to be ready. So you're not going to get free reign to run all over me up and down. Like you a train and I'm the fucking train track. We not doing that shit. But if I tell you that I'm for you and I want to be with you, and you try to test that shit, I'm going to fuck with you and make you break up with me. That's how that shit's going to work. I'm not out here to play games with no damn body. I'm not out here to fuck with nobody's head. I'm not out here to dog nobody. I'm not here to cheat on nobody. I just want to know what it's like to be in love for real, for real. That's it. I'll be bearing my soul on these fucking things. You guys take care. Thanks for listening.